Almighty God, our Father, how we wish sometimes thou wast the only one who did call us. But there's so many calls from so many directions. And really, not all the pastures are green. And not all the waters are still. Help us then to discern the call that counts. Amidst all the furor and clamor of the calls that come, help us to hear the one. Still and small frequently, but nonetheless, the one. And though the pastures be not green, and though the waters be troubled terribly at times, help us to hear and heed. And help us one and all with a great deal of delight, empowered by your Spirit, to follow that call as it comes. From the Christ, in whose name we today worship thee, and in whose power we today will serve thee with head and heart and hand. Amen. Early in July, late in July, early in August, I met two new friends, and I want you to meet them. I met them because they were men on mission, really, And in their heart was a vision you really can't see just with your eyesight. They were beginning to catch a vision of what might be accomplished through this school, through the lives of persons just like you, if the blessings, economic blessings of God, could be appropriately channeled in some fashion. And that is the purpose of this announcement in the context of worship. Mr. C.L. Jenkins is the executive director of the George Shinn Foundation, a foundation domiciled in North Carolina, specifically in Raleigh. Mr. Jenkins is from South Carolina, in Clover, South Carolina. He was reared, went to the University of South Carolina, and then came to North Carolina about 25 years ago, where for the last quarter of a century he's been in business as a merchant for himself. He retired from that business in 1972. Just this summer, really, or back in the early part of this summer, Mr. Jenkins became the executive director of the George Shinn Foundation. He and George Shinn serve God through the Hayes Barton Baptist Church in Raleigh, and T.L. Cashwell, their pastor, is with us today. The announcement is that the foundation has determined to make available to you, the students of this school, a significant sum of money to endow George Shinn scholars. We do not know at this moment precisely how many may be endowed ultimately, but we're thinking in terms of at least a dozen. That means that we, for the first time in the history of our school, will have sufficient funds to say to some fortunate student, on the basis of criteria that the foundation has set up, you will be given a sum of money to assist you in your studies while you are a student at Southeastern Seminary. I'm profoundly grateful for the privilege of presenting to you Mr. Jenkins, who will present to you the students, and I will receive it on your behalf, a check to endow the first George Shinn scholar, and then he will present Mr. Shinn, who will speak to us today. Mr. Jenkins.
Thank you, Dr. Lally. Get it out. It is certainly with a great deal of pleasure that the George Shinn Foundation presents to Southeastern Seminary a check this morning for $15,000 to establish the first endowment of, as he said, we hope 12, to assist a student in this school to become better prepared to carry on the kingdom of God on this earth. It is with great pleasure that I present it.
Thank you very much. And on behalf of these students, I'll accept it with gratitude.
Thank you, sir. You know, some places we go, we walk in, and everybody decides that the old grayhead man is the guy who has made the money and has given it to the foundation. They don't realize this little young fella behind me is the guy that makes the money and I present it. I'd like to tell you just a few words this morning about this young fella. George Shinn, age 33. We'll go back to the almost beginning of his life. At age 8, his father died, and at his death, George's family was thrown into poverty. His mother worked at numerous jobs to try to support George and his sister. She was not able to do this, and therefore she had to get help to get them into school. Welfare came to her assistance, and George and his sister went through school with the aid of welfare buying their lunches. After finishing high school, George went to work for Cannon Mills. He decided that that was not what he wanted. He wanted to further his education. He attended business college. He didn't have money, but he had the will and the enthusiasm to try to tackle the task of going to school. He became a janitor, and that was not enough to pay all of his expenses, so he became a recruiter for this school, recruiting students to come into school. George was so good at recruiting students that the man said, "Look, I'll put you on the payroll." And he finished school that way. But then he did such an excellent job, the man said, if you'll become a full-time recruiter, we'll work out a partnership. And George really went out and got the men, and then he became a partner in the business. And from that, he became an executive in schools. Today, he owns 6 colleges. He manages 35 in 13 states. He has a consultant business. He has a personnel business. He has a leasing business. And the company is growing all the time. But it hasn't been such. 3 years ago, 1971, George earned $3,100. He was about to lose control of all of his holdings. He went to several people to borrow money, and they turned him down. He said, look, if you loan me $25,000, I'll give you half interest in all of my holdings. Nobody would do it. Finally, a friend came to him and said, I don't have 25, but I have 18, and it won't cost you half of the holdings. The friend loaned him the 18 in 1971. In 1973, when the auditors turned over his records to him, they said, Mr. Shin, you have earned $1 million in 2 years. What is the secret? George needed help. He couldn't find it with his friends, so he went to God, and he told God, said, God, do my thinking for me. If you do the thinking, I'll do the work, and we'll form a partnership. And from this partnership, I will return what you blessed me with. He gave the $1 million off at the top. That $1 million, he gave the tenth off of the top of the million. That did not include what he gave to Hayes Barton Baptist Church, was very substantial, or to other religious organizations. He has a scholarship that he's paying for at another school. All of this money did not come out of the tent. It was an offering. Today, I represent that foundation. I have been connected with a lot of Christian people in my life, a lot of businesses. I have never encountered in my life a young man so close to God as George Sim. He is a man of God, and every minute of his life, through his work with his fellow people in the office and on the staff, to the people that come into his office, to his church, his life, his family, and certainly to me. It is with a great deal of pleasure that at this time I present to you a definite man of God, Mr. George Sim.
It's kind of funny. Just a couple of days ago, Brother Jenkins came in the office and asked for a raise. He put the finishing touches on it this morning, I think, saying all the nice things. I want you to know it's great to be here. We visited here a few months ago, and we visited colleges all over the United States. And one thing that we found out that makes a school succeed is not always its facility, but its people. And believe you me, this school has tremendous people. I think with Dr. Lally's leadership and with the fine staff that he has, that Southeastern is definitely going to be the finest seminary in the country. I would like to talk to you today. I don't have a lot of time. And to prove to you, Brother Jenkins just set a stopwatch for me. So I won't be able to talk too long, but I want to tell you a little bit about my Christian experience and also about my business life. We have a philosophy at our business. It's called a pyramid type philosophy, and I want to tell you about it today. This pyramid is, of course, sort of a threefold type philosophy. One part of it is health. This is the beginning part of it. Now, when I speak of health, I don't mean that you have to be a strong person or a giant or an athlete, but that what you do have, that you should be as healthy as you possibly can. You should do what you can to eat the right foods, sleep regularly, just in general, be healthy. I remember I spoke to this one group and I mentioned this to them, and there was a young man on the front row that was in a wheelchair. Doesn't make any difference. The part of his body that was useful was very healthy. The second part of this pyramid is your attitude. And your attitude is extremely important. Matter of fact, I can't think of anything more important than having a proper attitude. Your mind is the only thing of which you have complete, unchallenged control, and you should use it to that point. Reminds me of a story, the ragweed story, I call it. Ragweed is a poisonous plant. And you know, if you plant corn, and if you cultivate this corn, if you look after it, it will grow, and it will grow abundantly. The same with the ragweed. If you plant it, if you cultivate it and look after it, it will grow, and it will grow just as abundantly as the corn. The same with your thoughts. If you put in bad thoughts, you'll have bad deeds. And if you put in good thoughts, you'll have good deeds. The more good thoughts you put in, the more good results you'll have. You've got to use your mind when you're thinking. You've got the Creator is greater than His creation, and the thinker is better than his thoughts. I want to share a story with you. It's a true story. It's not of a religious nature, but it is a story concerning a person with the right attitude, that they were willing to change their way of thinking. I was working in this school, this small school in Concord, North Carolina, some years ago. It was about 7 years ago. And after our students graduated, we have a placement service, and we try to help these students get jobs. We always try to set up placement appointments for them to go on interviews. And this one girl, which was one of our better students, came to me before her interview, and she was in tears. She said, "Mr. Shin, I can't go. I'm frightened. I've never worked in my life. And I just don't know if I can go." And she was just trembling. Well, she had this appointment in about 2 hours, and I said, "Clara, just don't worry about it." She was from a well-to-do family. She had never worked. Everything that she wanted, she had. So we called and canceled her appointment. And I talked to her briefly and told her she was going to have to change her way of thinking. She was going to have to start thinking positive. She was graduating from school, and she was ready to go out and work on her career. So I called a friend of mine who had called me earlier requesting some help. He wanted a man. He didn't want a girl. He wanted to train this man to become the office manager. And so I called him back and I said, "Look, would you do me a favor? I have a young girl here that's very capable. Don't want a young girl. Well, I just want you to do me a favor. Would you interview her just for experience? She needs the experience. She's horrified." He said, "I'll be glad to do it." So we set up an appointment. I called her. She came to the office. This time she came in, she had changed. She was smiling. And she said, "Mr. Shin, I need just a little shot in the arm before I go." And I said, "Clara, you've got it now. You're smiling. Whenever you go in there on this interview, you just be confident. You've been here for 2 years. You're qualified. You can do the work. Tell him you can." She said, "All right, I'll do it." So she went on the interview. 3 hours passed or so, and I forgot all about it. And I got a phone call from this man. He said, "George, what have you done to me? You sent this girl down here on this interview, the girl that didn't have any experience." I said, "What happened?" He said, "I hired her." Well, I said, "Well, tell me what happened." He said, "Well, she come in, and I knew she needed the experience, so I sit back in my chair. And I said, "Clara, can you take shorthand?" She looked him right in the eyes and said, "Yes, sir. 120 words a minute without error." So he said, "Well, how about typing? How fast can you type?" She said, "I can type 90 words a minute without error." So this stunned him, the girl without any confidence. He said, "Let me ask you, how about accounting? Do you know anything about accounting?" She said, "Yes, sir. I can open and close a complete set of books without error." Well, so he was completely stunned, and he said, "George, I asked her one more question, and then I hired her." I said, "What was that question?" He said, "I looked her right in the eye and said, 'Clara, do you lie?'" And she looked back at him and said, "No, sir, but I can learn." So the important thing is your attitude. This girl's whole picture, her whole life changed because of her attitude. She had the ability, the God-given ability to do it. But she didn't show that attitude. I remember a story in regard to a flea experience, and it's where a lot of people get. They get in a rut. And I read that right after a flea is born, that it can jump, or a hatch or whatever, can jump so many feet. So they made this experience. They put it in a jug, a big glass jug, and they put the lid on top of it. And these fleas were jumping and hitting the top of the lid. And they finally found out they could jump only so high, and they wouldn't hit the top of the lid. So when they got to that point in the experiment, they took the lid off. And before they would jump out, they died in the jug. And that's what happens to so many people. The lid is off, but they just won't jump out. They think they're covered. They think because of certain handicaps, they can't make it. But you can make it. Struggle is extremely important. And you're struggling right now being students. And you're going to struggle more. You're going to have tragedies and problems. And when a man gets to the point that he thinks that he can solve all his problems by himself, that's when he fails. You can't do it. You're not big enough, and you're not strong enough. And that comes to the third part of our pyramid, Jesus Christ. And this is the base of the pyramid. On one side we have the health, on the other side we have the attitude. And holding up this pyramid is Jesus Christ. Now I can speak for experience because I was in the education field for 12 years. I've been in it for 12 years. The first 10 years of my life, I was blessed and still blessed with good health. And believe you me, I've got the right attitude. I'm enthusiastic about everything I do. But the one thing I lacked was Jesus Christ. And when I added him, just overnight, things began to fit into place. We made right decisions. We didn't just make decisions, we made right decisions. And it got to the point that every time we had to make a major decision, we went to God, and we still go to him, and we will always go to him. Because he's smarter than I, he's smarter than you. And if you call on him, he can handle your biggest problems, he can make your decisions for you. And one power that he's given you, that if you do not have the power, to overcome a particular problem, he has given you a gift to live with it if you believe. And in believing, you always try to help others. There's no way in the world you can help but grow by helping others. It'll come back 10,000-fold. It can't help it. You got to pay the price for success. And while I'm at success, let me explain to you the definition of success. I'm sure that you can read a dictionary and you know. But a success is not a tremendous athlete. It's not a wealthy man. Unless that's what he wanted to become. A success is what you are in this hand and what you want to become in this one. And when you finally get to this point, then you are a success. A success is a man running the corner drugstore because this is what he always wanted to do. A success is a housewife that's doing exactly what she wanted to do. And it would be you pastoring a church because that's what you always wanted to do. So when I speak of success here today, I mean exactly what you want to do. Because as far as I'm concerned, I might not be a success to you. I have not reached my goals yet. Once you decide on your goals or your success, you got to believe in them with every ounce of energy you have. You must believe. And coming to a seminary, I'm telling you, you people have got the best product in the world. And I know you believe in it, and you show that same enthusiasm and spark to the people when you're trying to reach them. One of God's greatest gifts is my favorite word, it's enthusiasm. And if you look it up, it literally means full of God. The people in our organization, when you meet them, they're just bubbling over. You know that we're working towards success because they're full of God. Because they're enthusiastic. They're smiling. They got the sparkle in their eye. And they know where they're going. And if you walked out on the street and you see a big red fire truck coming down the street and the siren blaring at you, what do? You get out of the way. That's what everybody does. When a man has enthusiasm. And enthusiasm is full of God. Tell you another quick story. This young man, 16-year-old boy, was looking for a job. Of course, right now, I think everybody has to be looking for jobs. But he went to his father. He said, "Father, I'm going to try to get me a part-time job." His father was stunned. He said, "Son, you can't get a job." He said, "Yes, sir." Said, "I'm going to apply the pray, think method. I'll get me a job." He was confident. So he looked in the want ads. He kept searching till finally he found where they were looking for a young boy in high school to work part-time in the afternoons and on Saturdays. He showed his father and said, "This is the job for me." He circled it. He had to be there at 8 o'clock the next day. He didn't arrive at 8:15 or even at 8 o'clock. He arrived at 8:15. But to his surprise, there were 20 other boys in that line, which made him the 21st boy in the line. Oh, and he wanted this job. So he prayed while he was in the line, and he thought to get an idea of what the 21st person in that line could do. All the boys in front of him looked good. And he said, "If I had been an employer, I would have hired any of them. But I had to do something a little bit different to get their attention." So he wrote down on a note. He asked the boy in front of him to hold his place. He walked up to the front where the secretary was. And he gave her this note. And he had an air of confidence about himself. And she opened the note and she looked at it and she smiled. She got up. She walked over to the boss man. She gave him the note. He read it and he reared back and he laughed because this is what the note said. I'm the 21st boy in line. Don't do a thing till you see me. Did he or did he not get the job? Will he or will he not succeed in life? He had the confidence and the attitude, and he will succeed. You set your goals, whatever they might be. Set them high if you reach them. Set them higher. You must have a purpose in life. You must have a definite, specific aim. And then you must concentrate all of your energies toward that goal. And you'll succeed. Jesus Christ said that I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I believe that. With all my heart, I believe it. And I believe that we're here on this earth for a purpose, to reach out to help others. And we've got to do it in an enthusiastic way. So if you apply the principles, the basic principles of good, sound health, the basic principles of a terrific attitude, smiling, confidence in yourself, and if you put all of your faith in God, you will succeed. You cannot fail. Let us pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for every person in this auditorium today. Help and guide each person here in their goal to serve thee. Dear God, we ask that you fill their minds with positive thoughts, fill their bodies with good health, and give them the enthusiasm to succeed and reach out and help as many of your children as they can. God, we're all weak. We need you for our strength. We need you to make our decisions for us. And in this revved up world, dear God, sometime when we forget you, please don't forget us. Be with us and guide us as only you can. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name.